Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sharon Jenkins, the Master Communicator, and we are in for a thrill beyond thrill. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. I hope you are holding someone close to you as we start today's episode. Yes, we are throwing a party like none other for authors all over the nation. Why? Because we love entrepreneurs. It's as simple as that. And when you love somebody, you treat them like you love them. And so over the next 14 days, we are going to love entrepreneurs like they've never been loved before. We're going to love you so much that you're going to be able to write a love letter at the end of this 14 days about how you were really loved. I mean thoroughly loved. I mean entirely loved. So today is the most appropriate day to kick off this I Love Entrepreneurs campaign. And we are so glad to have Miss Shanidra Wagner with us. Hey, girl.
Well, good morning. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, Miss Shanidra. For a moment, she stepped away from the arms of her beloved so that she could love on you a little bit. Hey.
Absolutely. I've already got my roses. I've already given him his gifts, and the kids have their gifts. So I'm ready to explore my artsy-fartsy side.
Oh, I love it. Well, listening audience, I want to share a few tidbits with you about love today. I think it's the most appropriate thing to do before we talk to Shanidra, because she has a conversation like none other, and you do not want to miss it. I hear you out there calling for her, but give me a minute. I'm going to leave you with something to chew on before we start our invigorating conversation with Shanidra. First of all, I always like to give honor to God in whatever I do. And so today we're going to start off with a scripture. Above everything else, be sure that you have real, R-E-A-L, deep love for one another. And that's in 1 Peter 4:8. And remember, our acronym REAL stands for Relevant, Entrepreneurial, Action-Oriented, and literary focus. I want to make sure that you understand that real is a positive thing, that it embraces all that you are, and you are so on top of things that you're able to give of yourself. You have an overflow of love inside of you. You're not stingy and you're not all stuffy. You have enough love to pass around. And lastly, I want to leave you with this quote. The supreme happiness in life is the conviction of being loved for yourself, or more correctly, being loved in spite of yourself. Well, we know that we are fragile human beings, but honey, when it comes to love, we can really do that. The hard thing sometimes is to love people when they are unlovable. And my message to you today is, irregardless, choose love. I just love it when a plan comes together. And we have the plan of having Miss Shanidra Wagner on the line today. Let me tell you a little bit about her. She is a nationally recognized educational consultant and motivational speaker. She is a dedicated edutainer. I like that. She has penned original songs, chants, and workbooks in both English and Spanish. Go ahead, girl. You're a multicultural girl. to educate and entertain audiences in 25 states during her professional development and student workshops entitled Rapid Read, Grooming, Grammar, and Writing. The linking of your thinking, she witnesses the effectiveness of her strategies firsthand as she bolsters confidence and performance of all who implement them consistently. She holds a bachelor's degree from Texas A&M University at College Station in French and speech communication, her master's degree in curriculum and instruction with emphasis in bilingual education was earned at the University of Houston. And you are going to be thrilled today because she brought a guest along with her. Okay, Shanidri, you got the mic. Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, I am ecstatic about the opportunity to write. Writing is power, and I discovered this love of writing when I was approaching 30 years old. I had just been dealt a pretty devastating blow in a relationship that did not work out. Thank God it did not. Now I understand why, because I have my wonderful husband, Kevin. But at the time, I was so distraught, and I had an option, you know, to either become more depressed or to pick up a pen. And I chose to pick up a pen. I chose the latter. And I began penning poetry and my thoughts about just life in general. And years later, now I have fiction, nonfiction, poetry. And most importantly, I have, you know, educational songs for children and instructional material. So writing is my life, even though it blends with my speaking and it blends with my teaching and it blends with my tutoring. It allows me or gives me entree into any arena. Because I love the craft itself.
And I know that you are not only proficient in multiple languages, but you are a walking dictionary when it comes to grammar, pronunciation, speech. You just work so hard in your career to be proficient in those areas. Can you tell me why?
Absolutely. It's because of love. It's because of love as we celebrate Valentine's Day today. It's because of love and passion. I love education. I love people. I love learning. And my heart aches, even though I have a wonderful life with wonderful experiences. You know, life isn't perfect, but God has brought me so far. And I just, my heart bleeds for the millions of children all around our country and our world, black, white, brown, yellow, purple, I don't care what color, what ethnicity, just children who are getting substandard education, and it's no fault of their own in many instances. And in some instances, you know, they're not focused, but I just really have a desire to see more people like me and like you, just more literate people, more passionate people, more empowered people to really experience life to the fullest. Our boys in the prison system is just devastating. It's so devastating. So I think the children, that's why I do it. They're my motivation. When I say the children, I don't mean just the young children under 18. I mean the 30-year-old children, the 20-year-old child who never got the education he needed and ended up in prison and wants to rebuild his life. The 30-year-old child inside who has a desire to sing or write and hasn't explored that because of maybe a hard life or, you know, being abused. Or that 40-year-old child who deep down inside wants to be a teacher. Or that 70-year-old child who can still embark on a new career. This, I think, is just love of education and love of people. I love people. love people.
And we love you because I tell you, you have a vivid imagination. Not only are you proficient and excellent in speech and writing, but you have a vivid imagination. So tell us about this book that you've written called Baller. Help us. Help me with that, Shanidra. I want to know more about this Baller book.
Absolutely. You know, the Baller Playbook was my response to the George Zimmerman verdict. It had begun several years ago, the Baller Playbook, as a collection of speeches, motivational speeches that I've been delivering since 2004, thanks to Dr. Cherry Gooden, who is a luminary and retired professor from Texas Southern University. She launched my motivational speaking career with one recommendation. So I found myself studying a lot about the plight of several successful Americans from all walks of life while I was preparing my speeches. And so the book, you know, marinated for years, and I wrote entries, left it sitting there. And then when the George Zimmerman verdict was read, and I was sitting, you know, in my bed, heartbroken with my husband, and I was crying, and I was thinking, you know, what can I do? What will be, you know, our legacy? What can we do to impact the children? Because something has to be done. I mean, there was a light shed on Black America, all of America, with our youth when this happened, you know. Even when children are college-bound student-athletes who are imperfect, yet they're not criminals, even when they are college-bound students embarking on a future, they can still be shot down. And I thought, we've got to work twice as hard to get half the credit. And so the Baller Playbook, you know, the George Zimmerman verdict galvanized me to finish it. So Baller, in a nutshell, as we know, is a word that used to glamorize, you know, illegal activity, and then it began to expand to include athletes who are in the NBA or the NFL. You know, it was all about money, 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 and prosperity. And we know, you know, Sharon, I know, that the real secret to a good life has nothing to do with the dollar amount. It has to do with the value, invaluable people. And so I changed the game up a little bit by giving Baller a new meaning from my perspective. So I created this acronym that stands for Brilliant, Active, Literate Leader, Excelling Regardless. And I think if we can get our youth to strive to be ballers and not necessarily ballers with the money, then we will heal a lot. We will have a better country and a better world. So a baller, you know, when it, the B for brilliant, I love diamonds, you know, but I also have faux jewelry. I have cubic zirconia because ultimately it is I who makes the bling look good. You know, you have to have a natural bling about you regardless of what stones you wear or not. So the brilliance, we have to all realize our potential to shine because of what God has given us, not because of what the world has given us. Active, in so many ways, deals with our civic activism. It has to do with our being active physically, to be in shape, our being active, you know, mentally by reading, just actively learning. The L stands for literate. We know the importance of literacy when it comes to speaking and writing. All those things work together. And then leader, we have to teach our children not to be followers in all instances. Yes, we will follow the word of God. Yes, you will follow the rules and follow laws, but you will also emerge as a renegade when necessary to lead the masses or to be different or to stand up against that bully and not go with the flow. I see too many people doing the status quo, you know, living, you know, in mediocrity. We've got to make children emerge as leaders. Excelling regardless, that in a nutshell is why I included so many vignettes and stories of different Americans who have overcome a lot, because I began to get over myself by reading. I began to realize, wow, you know, I'm not so rare in terms of my plight and my struggles. I read about people who've overcome even harder or worse atrocities than I and have done greater things than I. So I think I'm just so motivated. My faith is unshakable. I know that regardless of what we've been through, regardless of where we've been, with God, all things are possible, and we can overcome anything. And I'm a living test. I can testify. Boy, can I testify about where he has brought me from. But in a nutshell, I wanted to write this book to reach that child that I cannot physically hug. I love children. I love teaching. There are so many babies out there that I wish I could grab and hug and hold. There's so many girls I wish I could look in the eyes and tell them how beautiful they are, you know, and I can't. So my book is my way to reach people that will never physically see me or touch me. That's my little, that's my contribution. That's my legacy. And I just had to do it. And I think of Trayvon every day. I think of little boys and girls of all ethnicities who are not given a fair shake every day. It is my motivation. Absolutely.
I love your passion. I love your passion. Now, you brought a guest along with you who wrote a book called Adventures of a Capital B. Don't judge a B by her cover. The letter B, not the word B-E-E, but the letter B. Can you introduce your guest, please?
Yes. Moi is my guest. And moi is a very interesting character who penned two books with the B word, the oh-so-controversial B word. I myself do not tolerate being referred to as a B. However, I do understand the importance of women having competence. And I wrote this B series, or moi wrote this B series, as another way to reach women, young girls, who may have judged the book by its cover and thought, oh, it's called An Adventures of a Capital B, so this is going to have a lot of, you know, naughtiness, which there is some naughtiness, but it's going to have a lot of, you know, filth and drama and, you know, glorification of, you know, bad lifestyle, and it's going to be juicy. That's what they think sometimes. But it's quite the opposite. It basically discusses the transformation and evolution of a young lady who begins her book on New Year's Eve with a diary entry saying, life is a B, as you know, the B word. And she said, so I've become one. And she ends that book by saying, life is a blessing, so I want to be one. I will say that Adventures of a Capital B is not for everybody, though. It's not for everyone.
Not for everybody, huh?
It's not for everyone. It is for the open-minded, confident woman who is willing to view the world through the eyes of her sister, moi. It is not for prudish women. It is not for judgmental women. It is not for women who have low self-esteem.
So it sounds like she takes the reins of her life and decides that she's going to go on an exploratory journey. So talk a little bit about that journey.
Oh, absolutely. Moi's journey is basically threefold. In her book, moi basically writes journal entries about her daily adventures, daily excursions as a single woman trying to survive, and a woman who has needs mentally, you know, physically, sexually. She has needs. She's a regular woman, and she writes about her daily adventures, and then she in turn reflects on her past. Some of the bad decisions she's made, a lot of the fun she's had, and she kind of ties it all together. She basically, you know, links her past to her present to analyze why she does some of the things that she does. And then she also pens along the way a cyber column for women called Beefily Speaking, where she explores some of these poor decisions and some of these learning experiences, and she narrates them very colorfully, and then she gives advice and tidbits. So in the end of the book, we see a different woman from the one who began it. We understand her better, but more importantly, I want readers to understand themselves better, to see ways in which they can relate to Nikki, who is the character in the book, and to see ways they do not relate with Nikki. But I think introspection is the goal. But there's lots of humor, and there's a glossary in the back of Nazi words that are quite funny to me.
So let me ask you a question. I'm
okay.
curious. Let me go. of this book because, first of all, I was intrigued because there's a chart in the book about fart, F-A-R-T-S.
Oh, yes. There's a fart
talk
chart, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's a fart chart.
Talk about.
Well, I will say that just as Erica Badu says, that she's an artist and she's sensitive about her, you know what? I am a self-proclaimed fartist with an F, a fartist. I embrace my flatulence. I think that a conversation once taboo doesn't need to be because those who don't have flatulence are in terrible health. Terrible, terrible condition. So basically, in the fart chart, Moi categorizes farts because she says that they're like manslaughter. You know, you have two categories, as involuntary and there as premeditated. So in the involuntary area, we have farts such as funny farts that occur when your abdominal muscles contract when you're laughing, the fugitive farts that escape no matter how much you tighten, frightening farts that often startle little babies and toddlers and make them cry when they've not yet learned to appreciate them. And then more realistically, the frontal farts, which are exclusive to women. The premeditated farts, however, are those we do on purpose. Friendly farts that we fire at friends, foul farts that we know are foul and rotten and disgusting, firework farts, which sound like a cacophony of the roaring of fireworks, fecal farts, I needn't elaborate unless people don't understand what fecal means. And then flammable farts. Oh, my gosh. I've actually seen people ignite them. So I'm fascinated. And I thank Whoopi Goldberg for this confidence because Whoopi Goldberg, in her book, a memoir, discussed the fart in an entry. And she said, let's discuss the fart in all its wonder. And I thought, how eloquently. Look at how eloquently she's discussing such a disgusting topic. And that's when I learned to embrace flatulence, and whoever doesn't like it can skip the pages. So I have several friends and readers who love it. I mean, my own sister does not like the fart chart, and I love my sister, and I know she has my best interest at heart. So I'm very open to the fact that not everyone will like everything, and that's totally fine with me.
Yes. Now, I'm in the back of the book, and I'm looking at this glossary. And I'm curious, what is a battery-operated brother? A BOB?
A battery-operated brother is basically a commodity. He is someone who is controllable by women. Women can know how to push buttons. He's never elusive. Women can always put their fingers on Bob. They know where he is. And Bob is faithful, unlike many men. Bob is exclusive to his owner. So Bob is like a love slave. And Bob comes in many forms. And Bob is a billion-dollar man because he generates that much revenue by his sales. So Bob is a toy to women, yeah. And as much as people may try to, I mean, and of course, many women are very discreet. I mean, there are church women who have relationships with Bob, and I'm just being realistic. Women all across America are having parties where Bob is the featured guest. So I chose to address the issue of Bob in the book. Absolutely.
Wow.
It is a reality.
Wow. So it sounds like this book, written by your friend, Adventures of a Capital B,
and Super B,
rivals 50 Shades of Grey.
You know?
Tell me the difference.
Well, I only read half of 50 Shades of Grey, the first one, and I'm willing to revisit it because so many of my friends have read it, and they love it. And then some of my friends don't. But again, you know, in the world of artistry, we have to be open and intellectual enough to discuss what we do and do not like. I'm happy for the author of 50 Shades of Grey. I feel very inspired by her success. I did not see very many parallels with regard to the storyline or the content of our books, because her book is more or less, I think, a focus on Anastasia with this guy. I forgot his name, but Nikki talks about multiple experiences. I will say they are alike in the sense that they are edgy. I haven't read 50 Shades of Grey in its entirety, so I can't comment until I've read the full book and I come back on your show. and there may be a spiritual element in 50 Shades, but Nikki definitely has spiritual element in both of her books. Moi's book, which, you know, where Nick is a character. So there is a spiritual element, a very, I want to say religious, but yeah, spiritual element and an acknowledgement of a higher power to which Nikki must answer. She acknowledges the causal effect or the causal relationship between her present and her past and her poor decisions and, you know, some of the poor situations she's found herself in. So she does feel a sense of accountability, absolutely. And I'm not really sure if 50 Shades has it or not, but as long as it entertains women, you know, I'm all for it. Yeah, I would love for my book to be, I would love for Moi's book to be discussed as frequently or debated on the level of 50 Shades, even half as much or a tenth as much. I do want to reach lots of people. But more importantly, I want to be myself and not lose my authenticity.
That's a great thing. Now, we are coming to the close of our session. I cannot believe it. I have totally enjoyed our conversation. And I'd like to do is I'd like you to leave our listeners with a Valentine's message and how to contact you, because you're an interesting lady with a lot of layers. And I can tell you, your husband will never leave you, because you are very, very good.
I want to leave this for the women. If you may, I close with the poem.
Yes, you may.
This poem is called "What They Said," and this is written especially for the woman in mind. I know there are a lot of people who are sad today because of Valentine's and not having a loved one or a significant other, and they may be caught between or struggling between what people say about them, the world, and they need to focus on what the word says, not what the world says. And it's called "What They Said." As a woman thinketh, so is she. Through whose eyes will she ultimately see? Either what they said or what she read will be the source from which she is fed. When they see the worst in her, will she repent and pray for her best and remember that her sins have been cast into the sea of forgetfulness? As a woman thinketh, so is she. Through whose eyes will she ultimately see? When they say she's used up and condemn her for her features, will she think on and rely on what he said to become a new creature? When words they said stigmatize and label, dragging her name through the mud, will she shield herself with faith and full armor and be cleansed by his blood? Will an evil word, should she hear it, be combated by the sword of the Spirit? What sadness from their toxic tongues will she feel? What substance will she need to heal? As a woman thinketh, so is she. Through whose eyes will she ultimately see? By whose words will she be fed? What they said or what he said? I may be reached at shanwag@shanwag.com. S-H-A-N-W-A-G, shanwag@shanwag.com. I also have a Facebook page called Author Moi, M-O-I. Join me, won't you?
Thank you so much, Shanidra. I enjoyed you tremendously. And everyone, tomorrow we will show up with another entrepreneur, Brian W. Smith, and you don't want to miss it.
Brian W. Smith from Dallas?
Yes.
Brian, oh, my God, I'm a fan. This is wonderful. So I'll be tuning in tomorrow. I had a chance to meet him once. He's a wonderful person.
He is. He's actually in the book I'm launching at the end of the month called The Real Entrepreneur. So
awesome.
I'm excited. Thank you so much, and happy Valentine's Day to you.
Thank you. Love you, Sharon. Talk to you soon.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.